In 2003, novelist Dan Brown released The Da Vinci Code. It focused on the supposed efforts of the Catholic Church to suppress and distort human history to maintain their power.
Witness the biggest cover-up in human history.
While largely fictional, the book renewed interest in the dealings of the Catholic Church, in particular their independent seat of power, the Vatican City. Despite having no official military aside from the Papal Swiss Guard, edicts from the Vatican can still influence the lives of 1.2 billion Catholics around the world. And many Italians suspect their relationship with the state within a state is too weighted in its favor. Which begs the question, how dangerous is the Vatican? After the rise of Christianity and the fall of the Roman Empire, the Pope emerged as the dominant force in the ravaged Italian peninsula. Italy unified in 1870, but in 1929 the Vatican City was recognized as a sovereign state. The Papal States cover 110 acres of land and have a population of 842 people. Yet the Vatican still maintains a high degree of influence over Italian politics and society, thanks in part to its dominance over the official religion and its vast wealth. The state is notoriously secretive about its banking operations. For the most part, it is impossible to make an accurate appraisal of its wealth. It has a vast amount of material wealth, such as gold crucifixes or artistic treasures, which would never be valued, counted, or sold. However, what is recorded is that as of 2015, the Vatican Bank has assets worth $8 billion. This money stems from tithes in parish churches and foreign investments, including $20 million in gold with the US Federal Reserve. According to Italian comedian Sabina Guzzanti, prominent Italian politicians will block legislation that counters Catholic doctrine. Guzzanti was even threatened with prosecution for defamation after publicly criticizing Pope Benedict XVI. The charges were only dropped after Benedict publicly forgave Sabina, indicating his clear influence in Italian courts. Furthermore, moderate secular divorce laws were only pushed through after extreme pressure. And previous attempts to tax church property have failed because of Vatican influence. And Italy is far from the only country overtly influenced by the Vatican. In 2008, the Vatican officially opposed a measure brought before the UN to decriminalize homosexuality. Meanwhile, journalist Barbara Ellen says the Vatican's stance on contraception has done little to halt the spread of disease in Catholic countries. The Vatican Bank also has close ties with the Mafia, which were exposed in a series of financial scandals in the 70s and 80s. As recently as 2012, Father Nini Trepiedi was suspended after a questionable 1 million euros went through church accounts. And journalist Lucio Musolino alleges that, on a local level, priests cooperate with the Mafia, even to the point of ordering journalists to be beaten up by Mafia thugs to avoid unwanted press. In June 2014, Pope Francis excommunicated the Mafia, apparently severing all ties to the criminal organization. But according to Don Marcello Cozzi, president of the Italian anti-mafia association Libera, true mobsters don't pay attention to what Francis said. This is far from the only scandal that has embroiled the Vatican. The Crimen Solicitationis is an official Vatican document published in 1962. It explicitly states that in cases of sexual abuse within the church, both the abuser and the victim are to be restrained to perpetual silence under the penalty of excommunication. This moral blackmail prevented criticism of the church over its handling of historic child abuse until 2001. Pope Benedict personally enforced this tactic. The Vatican is now accused of, at best, ignorance, and at worst, actively moving priests accused of sexual abuse to new dioceses, where parishioners are unaware of their past. But the Vatican has attempted to begin righting the wrongs of the past, It has spent over $3.3 billion on compensation for the victims of sexual abuse. While the Vatican does not represent a military threat to the world, the sheer wealth owned by the world's smallest state also makes it the wealthiest in terms of GDP. This, in turn, can be said to further the Catholic Church's influence around the world. This influence is, for the most part, benign, like bringing arms and education to the needy, as espoused by the current pontiff. In 2010, the Church donated an estimated $4.7 billion to charitable organizations in the US alone. Nevertheless, the Vatican Bank is notoriously secretive with its funds. And in terms of civil rights, the Vatican's influence over the moral and therefore political values of 1.2 billion followers should not be underestimated. With this in mind, it could be concluded that the Vatican may not pose a danger to nation-states, but its moral and monetary resources could pose a danger in other, more subtle ways.
Although Catholicism is a sun god representation of the mysteries, and Islam is a moon god representation, it's interesting to cross-reference them to point out some commonalities that betray a shared origin. Since the end goal of Satan is to undo the scattering of Babylon and return the world to a single one-world religion, it is these kinds of commonalities that he will play upon to bring that unity at the end of time, not just with Catholicism and Islam, but with all religion that stems from Babylon. For example, let's compare the habit that Catholic nuns wear with the hijab that Islamic women are expected to wear. They're almost identical. Also, in both religions, people are taught to pray with beads. Just as Muhammad is said to have received his revelation in a cave, Mary is also depicted as living in caves or grottos in Catholicism. As I've already pointed out, this practice links them to the underground Babylonian worship of Nebo, who is said to have come out of the hole in the ground, and puts us in mind of Revelation 13:11 that talks about a beast coming out from the earth. The mysteries were often celebrated in caves or grottos, and this explains the origin of this practice today and why revelations from Satan are so often given in the darkness. In Fatima, Mary is in a cave. In Lourdes, Mary is in a cave. The Pope and Catholic followers enter into these caves to venerate her and thus perpetuate the Babylonian system. Today we may also associate grottos with the secular Christmas character, Santa Claus. Department stores around the world create Santa's grottos around Christmas time and invite kids to enter into it to receive a gift. Again, this mimics a practice that has gone on for millennia. Although we've briefly looked at holidays already, we may revisit them in depth at the end of the study. Catholicism and Islam stand side by side around the world, often in places that were originally pagan in nature. Cathedrals and mosques are frequently built either next to each other, or the two buildings are incorporated into one. Cordoba in Spain is perhaps the most famous example of a cathedral mosque that was originally one and is now the other. It doesn't matter that the building was once consecrated to Catholicism, but is now consecrated to Islam, because both serve the same system. We have noted the sun symbolism in Catholicism. Even though Islam is the moon god version, they still have some sun imagery, like on the ceiling of the King Abdullah Mosque in Jordan. Not entirely different to the concept behind St. Peter's Dome in the Basilica. The sounds of the religions are also similarly solemn. This is the sound of an Islamic call to prayer.
Ashhadu an la ilaha
Now compare it with the sound of a Gregorian chant. They are both similarly haunting, mournful, and melancholic. Both religions also make use of the telltale satanic all-seeing eye. This is a typical example from an Islamic taxicab where they are used as a charm to ward off evil and for protection. You will also unsurprisingly find this symbol in Catholicism. This is one example found in the confessional at the Cathedral Milano in Italy. To the ancient Egyptians, the right eye represented the sun and the left eye represented the moon. That is why in Egyptian forms of the eye, it is surrounded by makeup that normally identifies it as the right eye, the eye of the sun god, Osiris or Horus to them. In this example, note the sun rays representing the supposed illumination that comes from the eye. One of the great ancient Egyptian temples was the Luxor Temple. Helena Blavatsky, an important occult figure that we'll look at later, said that within such temples, obscene acts of homosexuality were conducted as a form of worship to Set. Now, the remains of the Luxor Temple still stand to this day, and within it you will find a multitude of phallic symbols that echo its original purpose. At the entrance, you will of course find the Asherah pole or obelisk. What is perhaps a little more surprising is that built into the Luxor Temple is a mosque. Some Catholics plainly see the similarities with Islam and are looking for a shared future based on the truth that they have the same origin. Vatican insider Dr. David Malachi Martin said that on the basis of a personal message from Mary to Pope John Paul II, he believed that there will come a day when the heart of Islam, already attuned to the figures of Christ and Christ's mother Mary, will receive the illumination it needs, a second Fatima, in which they will recognize him as God's true vicar on earth. Then with fellow travelers like the Church of England, the Episcopal Church, and others of like mind, the Pope could be worshipped as the infallible Holy Father by over one half of the world's population. This idea of ecumenism, or unity between religions, is gaining a lot of momentum in the world today, and behind it is the fact that Satan wants to reverse the scattering of Babylon and bring the whole world together again under his mystery religion. Given that the false religions of the world share the same root, they all have commonalities which are to be highlighted to achieve this end. The idea is to bring the world under the headship of the Pope, because he is the earthly head of the mysteries. Because of Muhammad's Catholic influence, Muslims already believe in Mary's Immaculate Conception and Virgin Birth. So high is their view of Mary that the Quran concludes she must be a goddess in Christianity. It therefore teaches that Christians believe in the Father, the Mother, and the Son. This is an error that comes by observing Catholicism's overemphasis on Mary as a deity. In fact, Father, Mother, and Son is the Babylonian Trinity. The Christian Trinity is Father, Son, and Spirit. The Islamic system of salvation is one of justification by works, which is the same as Catholicism and all false religion, in fact. The Quran teaches that on the Day of Judgment, good and bad works will be weighed up in a balance to decide whether or not someone goes to heaven or hell. This is just like the scales of Anubis or St. Michael in Rome. In Islamic states, there is no division between religion and politics. This merger of secular and sacred is similar to the Church of Rome, where the sovereign pontiff is both head of the religion and a reigning monarch. A final similarity with the Church of Rome is persecution, firstly of Jews and secondly of Christians. This is an indicator of Satan's presence. The Jews were granted full citizenship of Rome in 212 AD. However, when the empire became Catholicized under Constantine 100 years later, this toleration of Jews declined and persecution began. This was the start of a long history of terrible persecution of Jews by the Church of Rome. Likewise, we have already seen how Muhammad developed a hatred of the Jews and took to attacking and massacring them. In conclusion, we should be careful not to bow to the pressure of the politically correct lobby and blaspheme the name of God by placing him on a level with Allah, or to even suggest that they are one and the same under different names. Allah is Baal. We should also be clear in refusing to compromise with Catholicism and its Babylonian ways.
Identifying Babylon the Great. The Book of Revelation contains expressions that are not to be understood literally. For example, it mentions a woman with the name Babylon the Great written on her forehead. This woman is said to be sitting on crowds and nations. Revelation 17, 1, 5, and 15. Since no literal woman could do this, Babylon the Great must be symbolic. So what does this symbolic prostitute represent? At Revelation 17, 18, the same figurative woman is described as the great city that has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. The term city indicates an organized group of people. Since this great city has control over the kings of the earth, the woman named Babylon the Great must be an influential organization that is international in scope. It can rightly be called a world empire. What kind of empire? A religious one. Notice how some related passages in the book of Revelation lead us to this conclusion. An empire can be political, commercial, or religious. The woman named Babylon the Great is not a political empire because God's word states that the kings of the earth, or the political elements of this world, committed sexual immorality with her. She has practiced such immorality by forming alliances with the rulers of this earth and has done whatever is necessary in order to gain power and influence over them. That is why she is called the Great Prostitute, Revelation 17, 1 and 2. Babylon the Great cannot be a commercial empire because the merchants of the earth, representing the commercial elements, will be mourning her at the time of her destruction. In fact, both kings and merchants are described as looking at Babylon the Great from a distance. Revelation 18, 3, 9, 10, and 15-17. Therefore, it is reasonable to conclude that Babylon the Great is not a political or a commercial empire, but a religious one. The religious identity of Babylon the Great is further confirmed by the statement that she misleads all the nations by means of her spiritistic practices. Since all forms of spiritism are religious and demon-inspired, it is not surprising that the Bible calls Babylon the Great a dwelling place of demons. Revelation 18:2. This empire is also described as being actively opposed to true religion, persecuting prophets and holy ones. Revelation 18:24. In fact, Babylon the Great has such deep hatred for true religion that she violently persecutes and even murders the witnesses of Jesus. Revelation 17:6. Hence, this woman, named Babylon the Great, clearly represents the world empire of false religion, which includes all religions that stand in opposition to Jehovah God.
Very strong. But then my true love came along. Stays with me now, all alone. Well, I know now you never loved. I know now you never cared. Love that you showed wasn't love, babe. Conditions you laid down were not fair. And it's the way you treated all your lovers. So good, but you became a snare. Bye bye, Babylon. You hold over me was very strong. Then my true love came along. Stays with me now, all alone. Well, you look so harmless,
fell for your charm just like a fool. You held me in your arms and showed me pity. Underneath that smile, and the blood of all the prophets and the saints, and of all those who were slain on earth, was found in you. Bye bye, Babylon. You hold over me, was very strong. Then my true love came along, stays with me now, all day long.
From the moment we can talk, we ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What are the stars made of? Why do bad things happen? Where do we come from? Why do people die? People go to great lengths to find answers. Today, there is more information available than ever before. But the big questions, questions about life, suffering, and death, still remain. Where can we find answers? What if the answers have been there all along in the Bible? A lot of people say, the Bible is full of myths and legends, but it's outdated, or it's just too hard to understand. But is the Bible really the problem? Or is it what people think they know about the Bible? People think the Bible says that God controls the world. But how could that be? This world is out of control. It's full of pain and suffering, sickness and death, poverty and disaster. How could a loving God be responsible for all of this? What the Bible says may surprise you. It says, the evil one controls the whole world. In other words, there's an evil power behind the world's problems. Someone who is pulling the strings behind the scenes. That's why, no matter how hard we try, humans just cannot solve the world's problems. The good news is, the Bible says things will not always be like this. It tells us why we're in this situation, how God will fix it, and how we can deal with it in the meantime. The Bible is providing answers to life's big questions for millions of people around the world. Would you like to be one of them? Jehovah's Witnesses would be happy to study the Bible with you. Fill in the online request for a Bible study, and a witness in your area will call to discuss the Bible at a time and place convenient for you.